This is Action Podcast with Paul Bailey and Sam Forsberg.
Hi, Paul. I thought that perhaps this evening we could talk about sorts of relationships and situations that kind of get our backs up. What do you think?
No, I don't think that we should do that at all, actually, Sam. I think that's completely... Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I do like a good old banter and conversation about disagreement. So that sounds like a good idea
Perfect.
To me.
So I think we can pretty much all easily bring to mind a situation or a person, whether it's someone we work with or a family or member or, you know, even sometimes friends who have ways of doing things or habits or things they say that really just kind of get our goats. Do you have some relationships like that?
Oh, I think we all do, don't we? I mean, it's work relationships, it's family relationships and neighbours and pretty much just about anybody, even your best friends can certainly
Definitely.
Get your back up occasionally. So, yeah, I think we've all had that experience, and it can be quite disabling when that happens.
Yeah, I have to admit that I've certainly had experiences before where something's happened or something's been said and I've just felt like I was stewing on it for ages and couldn't get my mind to, no matter how many times I try to put it aside, just couldn't let go of whatever it was that I felt had just really upset me.
Yeah, I mean, quite often when it happens to me, it almost puts you into a bit of a blind rage where you stew over it and it just gets worse in your own mind, and it's very difficult to actually see, well, how you got there in the first place is usually what happens to me. I just end up in that situation. I'm thinking, I can't believe that this person is said that, done that, or you know, tried to hurt me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what it comes back to, is that whatever it has been has hurt us, and we take it as a really personal affront. And so one of the reasons why I thought this would be really interesting to explore is because a couple of years ago I was introduced to some concepts for conscious living. And one of those concepts that really struck home to me was this: people don't do things to you, they do them for themselves.
So go into a bit more detail. What does that exactly mean then?
Well, the way that I interpret that really fits with some of what we've just been talking about, because if you think of an example where, you know, even if it could be a long relationship that you've had with somebody that you see regularly and that kind of thing, it could even be someone that you just happen to pass in the street or in a shop. And so, for example, if I've had an encounter with a really rude salesperson or someone at a shop where I just sort of, you know, leave the shop going, oh my God, I can't believe they've got a job there. How do they, you know, that's not customer service. How could they have been so rude or whatever? To start with, there's that sense of taking it personally again, that I've been hurt somehow by what they've done. And I think that it's very easy to assume that has been something that they've tried to do to you. Even if you're not consciously making that choice, there's this sense of, you know, they were being, you know, nasty and trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
And so for a start, people don't do things to you. So it's not that person was really rude to me for a reason, that, you know, it was because they wanted to be rude to me or they wanted to spoil my day or take the smile off my face. It's, you know, it's actually going to be that they were doing it for themselves. So there was some reason, perhaps they had a really bad day or had a really bad piece of news, or perhaps they were in a job that they really couldn't stand. And it could be any number of reasons, including, you know, they may have, you know, had felt, you know, something that I'd done was offensive to them as well. But either way, it wasn't to react to me. They didn't do something to cause me that hurt. They did it because it served a need in them, or it was part of their experience that was how they needed to react at that time.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when somebody does react to you in a way that really takes you by surprise, and you're thinking, well, why are you being so mean for a start? Mm. What have I ever done to you to make you be in this way? And that really should be almost one of the first warning signs to you that they're not being mean to you. They're not doing it to you. There is something that has provoked them or put them in a situation or that they are feeling so passionate about that it's difficult for them to maybe communicate exactly what it is that they're trying to say or do. And quite often it's that exactly. miscommunication that can actually be upsetting.
Yeah, that's right. So are there situations where you've experienced this recently at all?
Yeah, it's it tends to be via email because everybody's in an email situation right now. We get hundreds of emails a day at some people's offices. And when you get them, you tend to expect the people that are sending them to have a certain level of etiquette and understanding when they're sending them, because you can't tell when somebody's joking. You can't tell when somebody's smiling. So quite often what will happen is you'll get an email that comes to you and it's maybe pointing out something that isn't right or something that you've done that's not quite done in the way that they were hoping it to be completed. And so when you first get that email, it comes in and you think, oh, they're really having a right go at me and really chastising me. And then you see all the people that are in the carbon copy, the CC field, and you think, oh, now they've told all these other people how stupid I am. And you start building up your own story in your mind of what they're trying to do and how they're trying to undermine you. And it's terrible how emails are so emotionless that this happens to you. And it happens on almost a weekly, if not monthly basis. You'll get one of these emails that will just feel like somebody's ripped the carpet out from underneath you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said in there, it's almost like you read the email and you're sort of like, oh my God, what's going on here? Why has this been sent to me? And then other factors come in. So noticing that other people have seen this email and then the sense of feeling chastised and that sort of thing. And it almost seems to snowball.
Yeah, you instantly go into defensive mode as well, which also blocks your vision and understanding. And all your communication skills seem to go right out the window as well. So what do you do when you get in a situation like that or something like that happens to you? What's your first line of defense?
Well, to be fair, it's taken me a few years of practice to get to the point where, particularly if I've had a really strong reaction to it straight away, that I just go, okay, deep breath, take a step back. And my first rule, I guess, when I get into that situation is do not reply immediately. Just walk away. Because there have been times in the past where I've started typing, a really quite offended and sort of inflammatory reply. and only once I've actually seen my words on figurative paper, because I guess it's on the screen with email, that I've actually been able to hit delete and luckily not ever had the terrible experience of sending something that I may not have wanted to have sent.
I've certainly been in that situation myself where I've been banging away at the keyboard after receiving this email and just before I hit return, I've deleted the email's their email address in the to field and just left it there on the screen and just stepped away, made a cup of tea or something and just had a break and come back and reread their email, reread my email. Usually I then delete my email because it's completely inappropriate. So that has to go out the window. But at least it's given me a chance to vent and get things out of the way. And I normally the second time by then I've looked at their email, and although they may or may not be right in what they're saying, but at least I'm looking at it with a little bit more sense and understanding. And then I usually write an email again, not necessarily directly back to them, but I rewrite the email that I would like to have sent them just so that I can get all the facts right, so I understand what it is that I would like to say back to that person. And then if it really was something that was quite harsh, I would normally actually phone the person instead, because if that's how it sounded to me coming over, then chances are they're already feeling quite passionate, they're already feeling quite emotional. So if I reply back and it's not completely agreeing with them, chances are they're going to misinterpret that as well.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of, there's some good pointers there, because it gives people the chance to, first of all, notice that something's really upset them like that. And if you're in a face-to-face situation or actually even on the phone, then there's sometimes less room for misinterpretation, but it still absolutely can happen. So in those situations, it can be more difficult to be able to take that step back and take that breath, go and walk away to get a coffee, because in fact that might be very offensive too.
Yeah.
But there are also ways of being able to say to someone, look, I'm actually feeling really upset about this, so do you mind if I just take a break for a few minutes and we start, come back to where we've left off. But to be able to do that with email, obviously, is one way. And you've also talked about ways that we can release some of our feelings in a safer way by being able to actually write them down. And then when we look at those words that we've written on paper, it gives us another chance to reflect on whether that really is what we want to be communicating or not.
Yeah, it's quite a good way of breaking the cycle of going over and over the same word or the same phrase that upset you in the first place, because otherwise that's all that's going on in your head, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So to be able to break out, have a break from the meeting or move away from the email, it's a really, really good way to calm things down. And I have been in a situation, I've been in a meeting where things have got very emotional. And we have said, look, obviously we both feel very passionate about this. How about we take just a 2 or 3 minute break, grab a coffee, and we'll come back and we'll sort this out together between us.
Yeah, which is really much much more conducive environment to being able to find a solution that does make everybody happy. Now, the thing about the concept that I love for this is that as I've become more and more aware about things when they do sort of stir me up in that way, it really teaches me, or has taught me, that I can remind myself, I'm taking this really personally. That's sort of one of my key triggers. So, in fact, this is probably not a personal attack on me, and therefore, that helps me to let go of some of the emotion associated with it as well. But sometimes it also helps me to remember that, in the same way that I could have potentially misunderstood what they've written, or that they might misunderstand my reply, it gives me an opportunity to actually step back and really reflect on that, and to ask myself whether I've interpreted or read it in the right way. Because I had somebody, as an example, Twitter is a social media service that a lot of people are becoming more familiar with these days, and you're limited to 140 characters. So I'd sent a message out and somebody had sent me a direct reply, and it was very brief, very abrupt, and I had absolutely no idea when I read it whether it was really, really positive or really terrible. And I looked at it and I thought, oh my God, have I offended someone? And sort of went into a bit of a panic and thought, well, hang on a second, it's not going to be about me personally. Let me just take a step back from this. So I did that, went back to their message, and actually sent them a reply directly as well, and said, I can't quite tell whether this is a really good thing or a really bad thing. If I've offended you, please let me know. And they replied with, oh, no, I was really, really happy about what you said, and thanks so much, and, I want to keep in touch with you, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was such a great example of just how much we can misinterpret or overreact to things when we don't have that that kind of face-to-face feedback.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the only other thing I've just thought of, actually, when I had some training with dealing with difficult customers, especially over the phone. One of the greatest tools that I was ever given in my toolkit with dealing with abrupt people was especially if they're swearing at you, it works brilliantly. But if somebody's swearing at you and you just look at them straight in the face, or you very calmly on the phone say, I'd really, really like to help you, but because of all the swearing, I can't actually hear what it is you're trying to tell me. And then just simply say, would you like me to help you?
Mm.
And suddenly they calm down, they stop swearing at you. They're still going to be a little bit irate, but it really does get them to take a step back and think about, okay, well, yeah. I do actually want somebody to help me, and I do want to get this resolved, and this person is actually being quite nice on the end of the phone, so what harm could it do to just take a breath and say, yes, I would like you to help me. That's a fantastic trick that I've used many times with the irate people.
Perfect. So we've covered a few ideas of how to notice the situations, how to take a step back, give yourself the space where possible to choose your reactions with less emotion, and also to consider the perspective that, you know, the person who's done this or said this hasn't done it deliberately to upset you, or the chance of that is slim. And we've also just explored some ideas around how you can diffuse situations where they are in your face and sometimes very aggressive. So that's been really great, Paul.
Excellent. Very enjoyable. And we didn't argue through the whole thing.
Well, you know, I could start throwing a few swear words just to kind of get into the no, mood of things.
We don't have an explicit tag. We can't do that. All right, Sam, that's brilliant. Thank you ever so much.
Pleasure, Paul.
So in summary, if you do find yourself in a situation where somebody just seems to be being mean to you, first thing to do is usually get some space. This is easy to do when it's via email, because you can just simply take a few steps away and maybe get a drink. Do try and remember, though, that people don't tend to do things to you. They do things for themselves. So quite often they're not trying to be horrible to you. They're just trying to get something sorted out for themselves. Some of the tools you can use for diffusing a situation, for example, if somebody's swearing at you, is to tell them that you want to help them and ask them, do they want you to help them? And finally, diffuse the situation. Sometimes just clarifying, is there an issue? What is the issue? And then express an interest that you want to get a resolution to that problem just as much as the other person does.